We say, Lord, come into your garden. Not just in our spirit, but in our entire being. That our entire being is your garden, Lord God. Come and dwell in this garden and walk and talk with us as you did with Adam. For God desires that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who lives in us to quickens and pumps life into every cell, organ, and system in our mortal flesh. That's the garden God wants, all of us, not just our spirit, not just to be confined to our spirit, but to be throughout our entire being. For we are his own private garden. For my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God has ransomed me. How awesome those words are from Chris Tomlin's version of Amazing Grace. My God has ransomed me. He has ransomed you. Not just a ransom that says the benefit is going to heaven, but no, he has ransomed you and me from every chain. The chains are gone. I've been set free. My God has ransomed me from every challenge, from every lie of the enemy. My God has ransomed me. And if we would just keep that in mind, as the challenges of life flow by, that no matter how dark the night seems, joy comes in the dawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. But you can go through the darkest times when you know your God has ransomed you. For our God is a God of suddenly. There's darkness of the night. There's tears. And suddenly the morning is here and there's joy. There's the darkness of the testing going through. Severe testing that seems to go on and on. And suddenly the test becomes a testimony. For your God has ransomed you. We want to keep that in our heart, that we have been ransomed. That no matter what lies the devil tries to tell you, no matter what he tries to do, Jesus Christ already paid the price on the cross. That you've been set free. The chains are gone. And God wants you to rise up in victory as an adult in the family of God. And we can do that, and we can get there, and we can continue to stay there if we keep in mind that our God has ransomed us from every challenge of life. That he's a God of suddenly. That if we continue during the darkest of times to do what we know to do, that the suddenly will come. Suddenly we've been set free. My wife and I went to pray for a man this week. He had a infection in the brain and had a fever for 2 weeks. And he was scheduled for a surgery, but they were afraid to do the surgery because of the infection and some other challenges. And my wife and I went and prayed for him. And within a short time, the fever left. And they had a most wonderful surgery. Suddenly, he was set free from that fever. Suddenly, the challenges with his brain was gone. Suddenly, he was out of a coma. Our God is a God of suddenly. The word suddenly is used 10 times in the New Testament. 10 times in the New Testament. It's used 30 times in the Old Testament. Meaning almost the same thing as the word immediately. And the word immediately is used 55 times in the New Testament. 55 times. Interestingly, it's not used in the Old Testament. So 55 times for immediately in the New Testament, plus 10 times for suddenly, that's 65 occasions we see suddenly happening. If you remember, at the gate, beautiful, when Peter reached down and grabbed his hand and yanked him up, immediately strength came into his body and he could walk. Immediately. One instance of suddenly, one instance of immediately from the Lord God, and your life is changed forever. No matter what's going on, no matter what the devil is saying, your God has ransomed you and suddenly is on the way. Suddenly is on the way. For he's done it for you before, and he'll do it again. Saul, the persecutor of Christians, was traveling to Damascus. And suddenly, light came down from the heavens and knocked him off his horse. Suddenly, his life was changed. He became Paul, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. One instance of suddenly, and he was changed forever. The devil is a liar. And the devil also has his sudden moments. That you're walking along and a sudden pain hits you. For the devil is a copycat and he loves to copy God. And so a sudden thought will hit your mind, or a sudden pain will hit your body. And you know it's a demonic fiery dart. And you simply bind up the demon behind it, and tell it to go. And it will go. The suddenness and the suddenlies of the satanic realm are very short-lived. If you continue to remember that the chains are gone and you've been set free from sickness, from disease, from cancer, from pain and discomfort, from poverty, from challenges, you've been set free. You've been set free to rise up, to be a manifested Son of God, to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. And to get there, there are moments of suddenlies. And there are moments of immediate changes. Because we serve the God who is the God of suddenly. We serve the God who is the God of the breakthrough. For when things look bleak, then the God of the breakthrough comes, and suddenly you have success. You put water in a cup in the microwave and you set it to 2 minutes, and you're watching it, and for a long time nothing is happening. It appears nothing is happening, and suddenly it starts to bubble. Suddenly it starts to bubble. For the kingdom of God is like a seed. And it comes along gradually. But suddenly one day you realize, I can't even count all the leaves on this tree. Your God is as sudden. And suddenly can be as suddenly that creeps up in you. Like on the day of Pentecost. They were sitting there for 40 days praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Acts 2:2, suddenly there was a mighty wind. The difference between suddenly and immediately is suddenly is generally not expected. How can they not expect it when they've been waiting for 40 days? It's like suddenly the tree you planted is taller than you are. How did that happen? Suddenly there was a mighty wind and the Spirit of God came down upon them. And the world has never been the same. So, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 14, 11. Well, let's pick it up in verse 8. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8. First Chronicles 14, verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. Now, they weren't coming up to congratulate him. And David heard of it and went out against them. And that's the way the devil works. You've been working really hard and you made progress. And suddenly the devil comes up against you with some kind of an attack. Like you've been praying for a job. You got the job and suddenly you got a job, money's coming, and the car breaks down. But God suddenly can change all that. Suddenly you go out, and instead of saying, oh me, oh my car is broken down, how many ABCs have gone out and laid hands on the car and come out at the work? The car started working. Amen? See, hands going up all over. How many people, ABCs, have gone out when the washing machine broke and talked to it and it started working? It just goes on and on. Because God suddenly will overwhelm what the devil is trying to cause sudden. Amen? So verse 9. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim. That's probably not Jamaican. Verse 10. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against a Philistine? See, in the natural, it seemed logical. The Philistines are here. Of course you're going to attack them. They don't belong here. They're not coming to wish you, you know, good luck. But he wants to do things God's way. Because yes, the chains are broken. You've been set free. Your God has ransomed you. But freedom is only in the will of God. We always want to be in the will of God. We always want to know what does God wants to do. So David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will you deliver them into my hand? Probably been reading his Bible. And he remembered when Israel went up against the tribe of Benjamin. God said, go up, and they go up, and they got wiped out, and many were killed. And they went back the second day and said, should we go up? And they went up, and more got wiped out. And the third time, they fasted to seek God's will exactly. And God says, go up, and this time you'll have victory. So we want to do things God's way, and we want to seek God, and we want to be in that position of being in God's will, seeking Him the way God wants us to seek Him. So God says, this day I deliver them into your hand. That's good, because you don't want to go up and get beaten. So they came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there. Then David said, God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal-perazim. Let me read that to you from the Amplified Bible, classic. So Israel came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote the Philistines. Then David said, God has broken my enemies by my hand, like the bursting forth of waters. Therefore, they call the name of that place Baal-perazim, the Lord of the breaking through. The Lord of the breaking through. God is your Jehovah Baal-perazim. He is the God of the breakthrough. Just like He's Jehovah Shalom that gives you peace and leads you in the path of peace. He is Jehovah Baal-perazim. That when the dark seems the darkness, know that you've been ransomed. And you continue to do what you know to do. And God will be Jehovah Baal-perazim. The God of the suddenly. The God of the breakthrough. If we continue to do what we know to do. In Hebrews 6 verse 12. It says, faith and patience, you inherit the promise. You all don't need to turn to the next three scriptures because you all know them. You can if you want. But Hebrews 6:12. With faith and patience, you inherit the promise. It goes on to say in that chapter that by two immutable, unchangeable things, God's promises and his oath have ensured that these things will come to pass. By his oath and his promise, his word will come to pass. So, when you know that God cannot lie and that God must keep his oath, God must keep his promise, and God must keep his word, you know you have been ransomed from every challenge. And all the devil is doing is creating a tempest in a teapot. And the mighty winds of the Holy Spirit is suddenly gonna shoot him down. So Hebrews 6 verse 12. If you continue with consistency despite opposition, that's patience. Patience is not sitting back and getting beat up. Patience is continuing what you know you should do despite the obstacles. It's consistency despite oppositions. Faith with patience. You will see the promise. You will see the fact that you've been ransomed from these challenges. Now Hebrews 11:6 says faith with diligence. Faith with diligence. So faith must go with patience, but it must also go with diligence. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligence is continuing to do what you know to do. It's doing your part. You're saved by grace through faith. But faith requires actions. You're saved from every attack of the enemy by grace through faith. But faith requires action. Faith and diligence, you inherit the promise. Diligence is doing your part. Whatever you can do, it may be very small. Moses got the Israelites delivered. He's backed up against the Red Sea. The greatest army on earth is coming against him. And all he could do is stick out the rod across the water. That's not very much. I could do that. You could do that. He just took out a rod. But God is the God of increase. God is the multiplier. Whatever you do, as long as you do something, God can multiply it. And he multiplied that part of the Red Sea. They cross over and the entire army was destroyed. Surely that was something that was an Ephesians 3:20 answer. Surely that was beyond anything else they had dared ask, hope, or think. How could they possibly have thought that this slave army, not even an army, it's a bunch of slaves running away. How could they possibly think they could defeat the mightiest army on earth, much less wipe them out? It's beyond their limit to even think. And all he did, his diligence, was stretching out the rod. Faith with patience, you inherit the promise, knowing that you have been ransomed and God is your Jehovah Baal Perazim. God is your God of the breakthrough. Faith with patience, you get the promise. As long as you have faith and diligence, do your part, no matter how small the part is. But when you're standing in faith, when you are waiting to see Jehovah Baal Perazim show up, you must be doing something. What is the something? Whatever you can do. Whatever you can do. I remember telling a man, the doctor that said he was going to die, he would never walk again. And he was sitting down and we prayed and I spoke and then prayed for him and I said, do something to show that you believe you have been healed. And he got up, which took intense effort, but he got up and then he sat back down. That's it. His rod stretched across the Red Sea was standing up. And the next day he got up again And this time he took one step. And he continued like that. And within a matter of weeks, he was walking a circle around his house. Then he went out to the front door and went back inside. And pretty soon he was walking, and before long he was back to normal. We also have another man in this room whose name I won't mention. I won't even look at him too hard. But he did something similar. And last I heard, he was walking 4 miles a day. And that particular challenge, when it was at its worst, was, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe? Maybe longer, 6 years ago. He just tried to come back and he stomped the snake under the head. You got to do something. Faith, with patience, you inherit the promise. Because Jehovah Baal Perazim is on the way. The God of the breakthrough is on the way. But faith must require diligence. And that diligence means you must be doing something. Whatever you can do. And finally, faith with speaking. It's not enough to be patient. It's not enough to do your part. You must speak the victory. You must declare the end from the beginning. You must declare, because what you have is what you say. You have what you say. You can believe, and you can have patience, and you can be diligent, but if you keep saying what the doctor says, you will not get the victory. So Baal Perazim will show up, and sometimes, often when it seems to be the darkest, he will show up. If you continue to expect him, if you continue to stand in patience with faith because you know that he's on the way, if you continue to look for the suddenly as you do what you can do, and as if you expect the immediate miracle, always be expecting that immediate miracle. Be prepared to continue to do it forever. But always expect that immediate miracle. Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven. They complained. So he said, pick up your bed and walk. And immediately he got up and walked. Immediately he got up and walked. Now how long had he been believing for a healing before that? We don't know. But long enough that he had four friends who could bring him in a stretcher. Long enough that they dug a hole in the roof and lowered him down. But immediately he picked up his bed and walked. And immediately can be yours, and immediately can be mine, if we continue to speak it. Baal Perazim is on the way. Yes, I've been healed by the stripe of Jesus, but that breaking through of the manifestation is coming. Not that we are focused on the manifestation, because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith is that the Word of God says you've been healed. It's a done deal. But sometimes it's nice to see that suddenly when the pain leaves. Sometimes it's nice to see when you can walk around the block instead of taking two steps from your couch when you're challenged. It's nice to have that strength. We know that God is your strength. The Lord is your strength. He's the strength of your life. But we love to see that immediately when the strength hits all our bones and our muscles and we stand up straight. God is your Baal Perazim. And he is on the way. See, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, there's a period of time where Baal Perazim kept showing up and they kept complaining. Right? They wanted water and the water was bitter. Moses prayed. Moses spoke. They got good water to drink. They're thirsty, and he hit the rock, and enough water came out. They estimate, what is it, like 80 train carloads of water or something like that. You know, almost the amount of water for 3 million people coming out of one rock. I mean, how big was that rock, right? You know? I mean, you and I could take this rock and crush it, and no water would come out. And Moses hit it. Power of God hit it, and water came out. Baal Perazim showed up. And 10 times Baal Perazim showed up when they said, God has brought us out here to die in the wilderness. They were not saying what God was saying. They were not walking in the will of God. They wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. They came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and made it to the Promised Land in a short time. I think the estimates are like 3 weeks. But then they said, we can't do it. And because they couldn't do it, and because these 10 times they had said that, then God allowed them to wander around the wilderness until they got what they said. We have been brought out here to die in the wilderness. And they did. But even while they were disobedient, walking around the wilderness, waiting to die off, they're walking in with miracles. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They got manna from heaven. They got quail. They were led by a pillar of fire or a cloud of smoke. All these miracles. And they kept complaining. Baal Perazim kept showing up for them. But they all complained till they died off. Then a new generation came up and went into the Promised Land. A new world. The day they crossed over into the Promised Land was the day they quit living by miracles. They start living by the works of their hand and the miracle of what the land produced. Now, there were times when Baal Perazim had to show up, especially in a battle. But they were basically living in a land of blessings, not a land of miracles. God doesn't want us living in a land of miracles. He wants us to living by faith with patience, faith with diligence, and faith by speaking what God is saying. He wants us to live that way so we're not wandering through a wilderness looking for Baal Perazim to show up and pluck us out of this challenge and that challenge. He wants us to live in a land of blessings where the blessings flow down and overtake you. They chase you down and overtake you. That you're living in this land of blessings because you are chasing God. And because you're chasing God, you don't need for Baal Perazim to show up. Because as you're chasing God, the blessings chase you down. But every once in a while, we get off track and we end up in a place of darkness where we do need Baal Perazim to show up. And it's good to know that when we are there, he still shows up for the believers. Still today, he will show up and you keep looking for your suddenly. You keep expecting your immediate. He will show up. But move more and more towards we're living in the land of blessings. And the land of blessings that we are living in today is called the kingdom of God. That as you live more and more your life in righteousness, peace, and joy, as you live your life where you're chasing God, chasing righteousness, the blessings, healing will chase you down, for example. If you're chasing righteousness, healing is a byproduct that will chase you down. For 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Living unto righteousness is walking in the land of blessing. But sometimes when we have strayed off from the path of righteousness and got into a mess on our own and it's very, very dark, Baal Perazim shows up and the manifestation of healing comes. By his stripes you're healed. By his stripes you're always healed. You were healed, you have been healed, and it's always there for you if you're chasing righteousness. But when you get off out of the kingdom of God, when you get away from righteousness, peace, and joy, the challenges come. And sometimes they put down deep roots, and it can be very dark until Baal Perazim shows up and the manifestation appears. God wants us in that place of joy, peace, and patience. God wants us in that place of being free in His will. If we live in His will all the time, we never need Baal Perazim, for we don't need Jehovah Baal Perazim, because we have Jehovah Sitkanu, the God who sanctifies you. We have Jehovah Nisa, the God who is your victory. We have Jehovah Shalom, the God of your peace, which is wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. We have Jehovah Jireh, who provides for you. Jehovah Rapha, the God who is your healer. All these are yours and mine as we continue to live in the land of blessing. But if you're like me, you've made mistakes. And it's nice to know that God is also Jehovah Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. Amen? Amen? It's good to have Him there. Amen. So this is part one on suddenly. And this is an introduction to suddenly. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.